Hi and welcome to episode one of the Debrief Show. It was recorded live and we're now doing a rerun of it so that you can catch it on podcast too. It's all about shorter attention spans and how to capture that magic 7 seconds that you have at the very start of a communication. Because 59% of people say that the time when they start looking at their phones is right in the first 5 minutes of a meeting. So as you're trying to get their attention, they're also looking at their phone. And if you've lost them in the first 7 seconds, then they're not going to ever re-engage as much as they could if you've got them at the beginning. So you need to learn how to really hit home. And that's why we started on this topic, to make sure that you can grab people's attention. Because if you haven't done that, the rest of what you've got to say isn't all that important because they aren't engaged. And we're going to teach you the head, the heart, and the hands technique. So tune in for more on that. Hi there, and welcome to the first episode of The Debrief. And if you are joining me live, then welcome, and it is lovely to see you. And we're going to talk about the 3 secrets to grabbing people's attention instantly. Now, studies suggest that people have shorter and shorter attention spans, but when you first start off, it's about capturing people's attention in the first 30 seconds. And depending on what study you look at, it says between the first tenth of a second to the first third of a second. So saying 7 seconds to grab some attention is a pretty good rule of thumb. So, you know, that's why it's really more important to go through these 3 steps to grabbing attention easily and how to get people in on your presentations and listening to your messages. It doesn't have to be about presentations. It might even be in an email, on a phone call, on a webinar, on a team meeting. You know, when I say presentation, it just means any time when you are wanting to speak and communicate with other people, interviews. It can be any kind of thing like that as well. So secret number one, the first thing is to think about them, not you. So no matter how many people I work with when it comes to meeting skills or presentation skills, I find that people are thinking about themselves, rather than thinking about the audience. And that's obviously a little bit of a mistake. So there's 2 places where you need to be thinking about them and not you. The first place is in your mind. So I'm not going to talk too much about my public speaking monkeys. Those of you that know me know that I love my little public speaking monkey, this little fella. And he talks to us and he maybe shows as he's saying, "You're rubbish. You're not good enough. Nobody likes what you're saying. You're not going to answer the questions," whatever your monkey is saying to you. "You're not good enough. You're stupid." Your monkey shows and your fear leaks out on your face and then your doubt becomes visible. So if you start your communications with your little monkey, then let me sit him over here. If you start your communications with your monkey, sit down, monkey, people are going to see, right? So you can get through this. You can do some work around it. I've written a book called Taming Your Public Speaking Monkeys that will help you. So even people who feel sick before they were presenting have been helped with this technique. So if you want to know more about that, then the book is on Amazon. But that is not what this is about. This is about skills particularly. We can cover monkeys in a different session if you're interested. But for now, let's talk about the skills. So once you've sorted out the monkey in your mind, the next thing you need to do is think about them, not you, in your message. So what it is that you're communicating. So let's take a look at an example. I have had so many people start a pitch to me. When I was in marketing, people used to pitch to me with their businesses, or an agency would come and pitch. So let's take the context of a general presentation. And people would say to me, "Right, before I begin, let me tell you a little bit about me. I've won 30 awards. I've been in the industry 40 years. We employ 294 people across 600 million countries. Oh, do you know, I even told one of the agencies, I said to them before they came, I said, "Please don't give me a load of stuff about yourself at the beginning of the presentation." And they did it anyway. I couldn't believe it. I had to sit there through like 10 minutes of them telling me all about them. The thing is, the listener is not interested in you yet because you haven't told them why they should be. So you've got to start with what's interesting about them to them. So I'm not saying you have to say these exact words, but here's an example of what you could say. You could say, well, I've worked in the industry for over 40 years and I hear leaders like you tell me constantly that they want to work on their business, not in their business. Is that something that you would be of interest to talk to you about? Yeah. So you capture what it is that they're interested in and talk to them about that. So, for example, here's another one. Let's say this is a virtual meeting and you're in a team meeting and you've maybe been asked to update on what you've been doing, right? Just a general update. So you might start with, let me share my slides on what I've been doing this week. And what that ends up being like is a justification of what your job is, you know, like justify why you're getting paid, where you don't need to do that. And it's not very interesting either, to be honest. What would be even better is for you to say, let's start by looking at the area you mentioned was important, Doris, for example. I know you were talking about the tariffs. That's really important to you. So let me tell you what I've been doing in regard to the tariffs, right? So you, or, and if you don't know, you might ask them. So you've been told to do an update. You go, look, I've got three main projects that I'm working on at the moment. And I'm happy to tell you about all three, but is one of them more important so I know how to prioritize my time for you? That might be a good thing to do. So if you'd like to get a copy of this cheat sheet, I've got several examples of different situations, corporate backgrounds, slide-led presentations, face-to-face meetings, emails. I've got a few examples here. So I've got a little cheat sheet for you. And if you'd like to do that, then please do sign up to the newsletter. So let's have a look then at secret two. Well, secret two is making sure you hook them really early on, just as you say hello. So there's two traits that we instantly judge people on when we are meeting them in person, and especially when we're virtual. Firstly, the question is, can I trust this person? And that's all about being warm and friendly, being kind and sincere, making sure your body language is natural and your monkeys, these little fellas, aren't showing through and making you nervous and scared. Because if you look a bit nervous and scared, then I'm thinking, well, they look nervous and scared. What's wrong with them? Can I trust them? They're not trustworthy. They're shifty. Maybe they're telling a lie. Then the second thing that you need to have a look at is their competence. So you're assessing them. Once you know if you can trust them, then you're assessing them on competence, whether they're intelligent, whether they're skilled at what they do. Now, you may have already come across this research from Amy Cuddy. She did a TED Talk and 74 million people have watched that. That's a pretty good TED Talk, right? So she talks about this, and she also does a thing, talks about a thing called a power pose where you're stood like this. So if you haven't seen that, then look that up. It's a way to make sure you have a confident stance. You don't have to do it in your presentation. You kind of do it before your presentation as you're getting ready. But she says that people want to feel safe before they care about how capable you are. And that is absolutely true. Let's have a look at making sure, what do you do about this then? Then two things. The first thing is, it's really important for you to build rapport at the beginning of your communication, your call, your email, even your meeting, whatever it is. So be smiley, be friendly, be open in your posture. And if you know about personality styles, I do a lot of work talking about insights, personality styles. And in my book, I talk about, in my other book, High Performance Presentations, I talk about presenter personality styles, knowing whether they're information type, sociable, results, or caring. So if you kind of have a knowledge of what your audience is made up of, normally they're made up of all of them, but maybe you have a kind of like a bias. If you're talking to engineering teams, for example, they might be biased towards the information preference. If you're talking to sales, maybe they're biased towards the results and the sociable, or the results and the information. So you might bias how you're doing this, but you want to build rapport first. And building rapport is not telling you how great I am. Secondly, and remember, this is in order. After you've done the rapport, then you're okay to show your competence. So that's about communicating your ideas clearly, speaking confidently, and making sure that people understand your expertise. You don't have to tell them about all of these things, but it might be through stories. It might just be through delivering information that they see that you're competent in what you're doing. Next time, what I want you to do is think about what might you do differently now. And so secret three is about engaging early on. Why do we need to do this? Well, because 49% of people say that they can lose interest in a speaker very early on. If the introduction isn't engaging, they'll lose interest. And you know that everybody's got their phones in meetings these days, and as you actually put them away. I did see that once. I think it was in Norway, actually. We were doing a training and there was a phone nursery, they called it. And you had to put your phone into a basket, into a wicker basket. And that was, I like the term phone nursery. I hadn't heard of that before. And people were most likely to check their phone at the beginning of the meeting. I guess they want to make sure that they haven't got to do something, or maybe they're not that interested. But so the beginning of the meeting is the high risk area. So make sure you catch them early. So early on, what are you going to do? You need to engage them and get them hooked in. So there's three ways, and those of you who've worked with me, you know I like my threes. So there's three ways to engage people early on. And they're H's. So there's hooking the head, there's hooking the heart, and then there's the hands, activating the hands. So let's go through each of these one by one. So hooking the head. That's about talking to, and maybe as I'm talking, you can pop in the chats. What do you think you could do now to hook in people with the head? And what you want to do is all of these three. So this is going to be attractive to the results people especially, and to our information personality types. What are you going to do? You're going to give them some facts. Anything else in the chat that you can think that you're going to do in order to get people hooked in their head? You can use structure, and we'll be talking about the Simply Amazing structure that I recommend you use next time. That's the topic of the next live, which is next Friday, 11 o'clock. So make sure you put that and future lives in your diary. Maybe having some statistics that spark curiosity. So we're just talking specifically at the moment about the attention grabbing at the beginning. So a fact or something that makes people go, oh, I didn't know that. In stirring the heart, you can talk about stories. So you might want to share a story or build an emotional connection with somebody. And they don't have to be personal stories. They can be, and that's good for showing vulnerability. But they can also be customer stories. So like a case study is a customer story. How difficult they were finding communication before they worked with me. So they were feeling sick, or they were feeling nervous, or they were not being listened, constantly talked over. But once they did some work with me and they learned how to have a clear structure and to gather attention, then what happened is the next time at a conference or a meeting, they really got their message through, or they're at a conference and they scored really high scores and the best speaker of the conference, something like that. So you can tell stories, doesn't have to be about yourself. And then the final one is to activate your hands. Well, not your hands, but their hands. So get them to do something. So thank you to those of you that are typing in now and talking to me. That's lovely. Getting you to activate your hands, to type in, to give one word reactions. If you're on Zoom, to kind of do a thumbs up when you can see people, get them to write something down. It doesn't have to be interactive for your more introverted preferences. Have them reflect and write down on their own notepads their thoughts. But getting them to engage with the content very early on from the start is really good. So if you don't like anything too way out there, you can just say something like, this is the agenda, and you're talking about this, and the lunch break is at 12 o'clock. Even if you just get them to write down the lunch break, at least they're then talking to you. So depending on who you're working with, that might be your version of interaction. So you can do this from all levels of kind of like big to small. Let's have a pause for thought. I'm talking about pause for thought and using your hands. So let's do that right now. So I would like you to write down, ideally in the chat, but if not, on your own notepad, what you might do differently now. Thinking about head, heart, and hands, what might you do differently now? So just talk to me in the chat or in your own notebook. So asking questions like, for example, would you like to save time and money, Lindsay? That's brilliant. Yes. So getting them to interact with their hands, or obviously they can answer with their voice. That's also good. But getting them to answer questions. So open questions are brilliant. You can have a poll which asks people for different interactions as well. So thank you for sharing that. And that's fantastic. Yeah, thank you for your comments. Opening with a story, David. Yeah, opening with a story it really pulls people in because not many people do it. And we love stories. We are, we're born storytellers. This is how some of the ancient tribes communicate entirely through stories. And so people love a story. So yeah, using that. And rearranging your intro talk where you're introducing as a guest speaker. Yeah. So when you're introducing a guest speaker, yeah, help them to get rapport first and credibility. So just introducing them with credibility, they can borrow off your rapport a little bit, but ideally make sure that they have time at the beginning to build rapport with the audience as well if you've got guest speakers. Yeah, thank you for that. Good. Okay, so let's take a look at what we're going to do. So thinking of something that you've learned from today is very speedy. I find half-hour live sessions are great because you've got time, but they're really quite speedy. I'm used to being with people for a whole day, so I feel like it's been a speedy session, but hopefully you've got something of value from it already that you can change and make action on. So it's all about taking action, right? Please take action. So think of something that you've got upcoming, an important communication, a presentation, a pitch, an email, a phone call, maybe even a family communication. Think about something that you've got coming up and think about one action that you're going to take. And I would love for you to pop in the chat, what one action do you commit right now to taking? Like, it can just be a tiny action, but I'd love you to do something differently as a result of this session. So the structure is really important. You can use it if you're new to communications, but also the most advanced people I work with, some senior sales teams, Richard, who I worked with, he was a Sky reporter and a professional speaker, still loves the structure, the SAS. If you know me, if you work with me in the olden days, it used to be called the format, but now it's called the Simply Amazing Structure as of, I don't know, the last 10 years or something. So it's really, really useful. Anyone can benefit from it. Thanks for tuning in to the first ever Debrief show, and I hope you really enjoyed that replay of episode one. Episode two is all about the Simply Amazing structure, which now you've got their attention, you can structure your communication so that people actually listen to what you say and process it, and you go through the various stages of the little intro, the why, the what, the how, and what if. And the next few podcasts go through each of those stages. So tune in to each of those. And if you've enjoyed this episode, remember we are on podcast, on Apple, Spotify, wherever else you get your podcasts. And you can find us on YouTube under D Clayton Channel. Just look for the playlist all about the Debrief show. We look forward to seeing you there. And until then, please feel free to share this with colleagues or friends, anyone you think will find this useful. And we will look forward to seeing you next time. Until then, continue to bring out the best in yourself, your teams, and your communications.